Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas. Me'ira Chai and Nechama Bracha Alea Shalom Bas David Mordechai. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph in Meseches Krisus, and it's all about the topic of blood. The very first Mishnah in the Masechta said that there is a biblical prohibition to ingest blood. It's a prohibition that carries with it the penalty of kares. So our topic of today's daf is which blood has that penalty. The Mishnah says it's dam hanefesh, blood that has the very life of something in it. But apparently other things, other types of blood are not biblically prohibited. So let's start again with the Gemara at the beginning of the Amud Beis here on Chaf Amud Beis, Tan Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. The verse says, Kol dam lo sochlu. All blood you shouldn't eat. The fact that it says kol. Shomayan, you would have thought, afilu dam al cheshtayim, dam beitzim, dam chagavim, dam dagim, hakol bichlal. I would have thought it means even blood of people, those who walk on 2 feet. And even the blood of eggs, or even the blood of grasshoppers, even the blood of fish is prohibited. That's what the verse goes on to say. La'ofala behema, to the birds and to the animals. So therefore, it's only blood that's like birds and animals. So a bird and an animal are unique. They have different levels of impurity. They can have severe impurity if they're dead without a shechita. There's tumas nevela, the impurity of nevela. They're an avatama. But also they can become food if they're slaughtered properly. And the food, you know, and the meat is taken from the slaughtered creature and viewed as a food, as a meat, as food. It could be food. Now, food has a low level of impurity. It could become tameh, tomas ochlin, if there's a kibetza worth of it. You need the cord?
This has at least some exception.
All right. It's a low level of food. Sheyesh ben tuma kala v'tuma chamura. Another aspect of bird and animal. Yesh ben iser v'heter. There's a form in which they are permitted. There's a form in which they are prohibited. Before shechita, you can't eat them. After shechita, you can eat them. V'hein min basar. They are categorized as a meat, unlike an egg. So therefore, af kol sheyesh ben tuma kala. So to be able to have the prohibition of dam, it has to be something which sometimes can have the low level of tuma, namely tumas ochlin, the tuma of foods. And that is otzi dam mahal cheshtayim. That excludes the blood of a human being. Because the blood of a human being's meat is never going to be a food. You can't eat human beings' meats. And therefore, in blood of a human being, sheyesh ben tuma chamura, a human being has severe tuma, right? If he's dead, chas v'shalom, so then it's tuma meis, severe tuma, avayavosa tuma, but it would never be a low level of tuma. Ein bem tuma kala, doesn't have low level tuma. That's why the blood of a human being is not included. Okay, that's what we had gotten up to yesterday. Now starting today's stuff, chafal tuma dalaf. Otzi dam shratzim, says the Braisa, I'm also going to exclude from this the blood of a sheretz, the blood of a rodent. Shein behen tuma chamura, because a sheretz doesn't have such a high level of tuma, because even though a sheretz is an ava tuma, if it's dead, but it wouldn't make a person who's carrying it so tamei that his clothing becomes tamei. Okay? So that's also excluded. It doesn't have a tuma chamura. And from this law, otzi dam beitzim, I can also exclude the blood of eggs. Shein min basar. Because since the pasuk talks about ofen behema, birds and animals, that excludes eggs that are not a type of basar. And I also, based on this rule, that it has to be like birds and animals, exclude dam dagim and dam chagavim, the blood of fish and the blood of grasshoppers, Shakulo heter, because a fish and a grasshopper is all permitted. Okay, we'll see what that means. Says the Braisa. The verse says, La'of v'la behema. Why do you have to say both? Could have just said La'of. Could have just said La behema. Why say both? The answer is like this. Ima'of, if it would only have said bird, I would have thought. Ma'of, shein bo kilayim. bird, the characteristic of bird, that there's no prohibition of kilayim. You can, as the Gemara will explain, you can take the feathers of a bird, turn them into threads, and mix those threads with linen threads, with all other threads. So then I would have said, in birds there is a prohibition of blood. In the animals that don't have a prohibition of kilayim, let's say goats, cows, because you can use horse, you can use their thread with wool, with linen. So those camels, you can use those animals, their blood has a prohibition because it's like birds. But let's say the sheep, we know that the wool of the sheep has a prohibition of kilayim. You can't put the sheep threads with linen threads. So I would say sheep is unlike bird. And therefore I would say bird has a prohibition of blood, but sheep does not have a prohibition of blood. So I needed another verse, la behemah, for the animals to include sheep. Now, if I would have had the word saying animals, that there's a prohibition of blood in animals, I would say, if it would have only said animal, I would have thought, okay, animal is a type of creature where there's no prohibition of taking the mother with the children. There's no mitzvah of shiluach haken in animals. However, birds that have mitzvah of shiluach haken, I would think that there is no prohibition of blood. That's what I needed to have the... So, I would say, shaf of she'ena be'emal abadim. I would say those birds that don't have the law of shiluach haken, namely the non-kosher birds, they are the ones who have the prohibition of blood, like animals. But kosher birds, where there's a law of shiluach haken, they wouldn't have the law of the prohibition of blood. That's why you need both words, Talmud lomar, la'ov, v'la behemah, for the birds and the animals, to say that all birds have the prohibition of blood, and all animals have the prohibition of blood. So this is the brisa. How do we know the laws of the Mishnah that certain creatures, their blood doesn't carry with it the kares penalty? The answer is the verse. The verse said, "V'chol dam lo sochlu, b'chol mosh lo soichem, la'ofa la behema, and all blood you shall not eat wherever you live, for the bird and for the animal." So based on this pasuk, we can derive things that are like bird and animal, namely it has a low level of tumah and sometimes a high level of tumah. It's meat. Sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's not kosher. Those are the things that are included in kol dam lo sochlu, but things that are not like them, and the person who walks on two only has a high level of tumah, he's not included in this pasuk, and therefore the blood of a person doesn't create the penalty of kares.
So are the birds prohibited except eggs, grasshopper, and
fish?
Fish.
A person.
Person too?
Right. You could eat the blood of a person, as we're going to see in today's daf. Alright, so now the Gemara asks on this. Again, this is all based on the verse. Again, the verse was Kol dam lo sochlu b'chol mosh voseichem la'of la behema. Okay, asks the Gemara, why don't we interpret the pasuk differently? Behema, why don't you say Kol dam, like David asks, Kol dam is a klal. That's all blood. That's a generalization. Then ofu behema. Then the verse ends with laofu la behema, for the bird and for the animal. That's a prat. That's a detail. Those are the bloods you can't eat. That should be the rule of klal uprat. You have a generalization, then you have a detail. We have a rule. Whenever you have a generalization and then a detail, ein bechlal elamashav prat. That means that the rule is whittled down to just mean the details. Then I should say, in the blood of a bird, the blood of an animal, yes. But other things, not. Answer the Gemara. There's another pasuk. It's the next pasuk. The pasuk says, Nefesh asher tochal kol dam, a soul that will eat all blood. Right? It says, actually, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. V'nichrasa nefesh ahimi ameh. So it says, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam, uji, all blood. So since again it says kol dam, chazar v'chalal, that's another generalization. So therefore it's not klal and then prat, it's klal uprat and then klal. Generalization, detail, and again a generalization, then the rule is yatadan al kena prat. That is to tell you that things that are have the share, that share the common denominator, that share the feature of the detail are included. That's what we're saying. Anything which has high level impurity and low level impurity, has a kashrus and a not kashrus, is a meat. Those are the things that have blood. So one second, how could you say it's a klal uprat to klal? It should be a klal uprat because halo dami klal abrasil a klal akama. The final generalization is not similar to the first generalization. Klal akama, the first generalization, is a directive. It's a law. It's saying what you shouldn't do. It's saying kol dam lo sochlu. Blood, you shouldn't eat. However, klal abrasil, the final generalization, was not a prohibition. It was a punishment. Any soul that will eat blood, it'll be cut off. It's not saying don't do it, it's just saying what'll happen if you do it. So therefore it shouldn't be considered a klal uprat to klal. It should again be considered a klal uprat. And then it should only be blood of a bird and an animal and nothing else. Answers the Gemara. Hi, the Tana of this brisa was Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Was a Tana from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael. And in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, klali uprati darshinim in adin gavna. They say that things like this are also klal upratu klal, even if the final generalization is different than the initial generalization, is still included in a klal upratu klal. And therefore, alpha gavla dami klal abrasa klal akama, even though the final generalization is not like the earlier generalization, it's still considered a klal uprat uklal. So that resolves that question. So now says the Gemara, Amar Mar, let's go back to that Brisa. The Brisa said, Amar Mar, we've learned before, klal uprat uklal, it's not okay in a prat. Right? So when you have a klal uprat uklal, so then we say that we have to look at the two details, ofen behema, come up with the common denominator of ofen behema, and now apply it to everywhere else. So we said the common denominators are basar, it's meat, it has a low level of impurity if it's a food, it has a higher level of impurity if the whole thing is dead. So ma prat mefuris, just like the detail is explicit about something, davar sheyesh bo tumah kamah v'tumah chamura, something which can have a low level of impurity, tumas ochlin, and it can have a severe level of impurity. It could be prohibited if it wasn't shechted, and then once it's shechted, it's permitted. Both animals and birds are a type of meat. So too, the things that are included that have the prohibition of blood are things that can have a low level of impurity and a high level of impurity. Ask the Gemara, when you say also other things that have a low level and a high level, what's that to include? So, right, animals and birds are already mentioned. It's to include the blood of the koi creature. The koi creature is the child of a goat and a deer. And we don't know how to classify it. We don't know if it's behema, domesticated, or we don't know if it's chaya, if it's wild. Is it goat mostly or is it deer mostly? Look at my ass 1 second. I understand. What are we thinking? If the koi is what I just said, a suffix, a doubt, maybe a behema, maybe a chaya. So I understand. Once the pasuk says behema, animals, meaning behema and chaya, domesticated and wild. If jachra lemesar sveka, do I need a pasuk to say that when there's a suffix, it's prohibited? Ella, so what must it be? Kasavar, apparently the Tana of this brisa holds, koi bria bifnei atzmahu. A koi is neither behema nor chaya. It's a third gender. It's, what do they call, neutral, neuter. It's something different. It's something in the middle. It's not this nor that. And since it's not this and not that, we don't know how to classify it because we only have two classifications. We have two categories. So do we put it into the behema category or the chaya category? But it's something entirely different. That's why I need a pasuk to say that even though it's entirely different, its blood is prohibited. So now the Gemara is going to go through some of the other laws of koi. All right, Ashkechan Damo. So you have this special pasuk, the klal upratu klal, to include, where it's called dam, to include the blood of a koi. Chelbo minalim. What's the pasuk to say that the fat over the kidneys of a koi is prohibited? So the Gemara says there's another pasuk for that. Since it says, kol chelev, all fat you shouldn't eat, kol is to include koi. And how do we know that if the koi is dead without a shechita, that you can't eat it? Now we learn from the words, kol nivela. If the koi is a creature, it's not behema nor chaya, some new thing. So how do you know that its sciatic nerve is prohibited? The answer is because in Gid Anasher it says, "Bekafa yarech tzali rachmana." Hashem made its dependence on a certain formation of the thigh, that the thigh is somewhat circular. How do they translate it? Kafa yarech.
Spoon-shaped flesh.
Okay, the spoon-shaped flesh of the thigh. That in certain creatures, with their thigh, there's a spoon shape to the muscle, and the nerve on that type of ladle, that type of spoon shape, is Gid Anasher. So since that exists in the koi, it's included. And the koi has this spoon-shaped thigh. All right, another question. If you're saying koi is a creature that's not domestic nor wild, some third type, tum aso, the fact that when it's dead without a shechita, the body is tamei, ushechita, the fact that you need a shechita in order to permit it to be eaten, minal, how do you know that? So that already, at this point, it's already a svara, it's logic. Midulakuli alma, rabbi rachmana kebehema, since in so many other ways, for blood, and for chelev, and for Gid Anasher, and for Nevela, Hashem has already included it and made it like the other animals. Tumas Shchita, so Nami Kebehima. That when it's a Nevela, it has Tumas Nevela, or that it needs a Shchita, that's also included because it's like other animals. All right, going back to the issues of blood. We had a Brisa that taught us how we know which blood is prohibited and which blood is not prohibited. Amar Mar, we learned in the Brisa. Based on this klal upratu klal, I exclude the blood of people. Sheyesh behen tuma chamura, a person who's unfortunately dead has a high level of impurity. Ein behen tuma kala, but they don't have the ability of the low level of impurity. Ask the Gemara Mini, but I'll challenge you. We learned in a brisa, hachotech min ha'adam. If a person cuts off a limb from a person who's alive, sarich machshava. So then, this is a Mishnah Machshirin, he has to have a thought that he's planning to eat this. Because normally people don't eat human flesh. But if there's a thought that he's planning to eat this, or he'll feed it to some guy who will eat it, vehechsher, and then it's washed off with water, now it can become tameh. Now one second, Mekashem, we had a problem. Machshava lamali. What do I need the thought for? Teyasa chaticha shelo machshava. The cutting itself, that already should be the thought. Amar Yishlakir said, Bechotcho lekelev, he cut off flesh from a human being to give it to a dog. Machshava lekelev. Lav machshavu. So if I focus only on the act of cutting, that's a cutting for a dog. Cutting for a dog doesn't make something into a food yet, which could become tummy. That's why he has to have a separate thought to feed it to a guy, to feed it to a non-Jew. Below, I don't understand. Is that true? If you have a thought to give something to a dog, that's not enough to make it a food? If something is edible to dogs, it's a food. But Dana Zulant in a Mishnah. They had a rule in regards to the tumah of foods. Something which was dedicated to be a human food. And then it became tameh, so it's tameh. Even though it's now not edible for people, it's still a tameh. But if it became so disgusting that even a dog wouldn't eat it, then it loses its tumah. So what do you see? That as long as it's edible for a dog, it still has the tumah that it got when it was edible for people. Because dog food is food. So why do you say that cutting for the dog wouldn't make it a food? So the Gemara says, no, that's the difference. Hahu, that Bryce is talking about, la suke tumah mine, to remove something which already became tumah, to remove the tumah from it. And there the law is like this, came into meikar of a chazila adam, since initially it was a food that people could eat, so it could become tumah. So once it became tamei, lasuki mituma, to take it out of the tuma, then it has to be a chiyipasal me'achilas kelev. It has to be so disgusting that even dogs wouldn't eat it. But Achmar over here, we're talking about human flesh. Lahusei le'tuma, to make it able to become tamei. The fact that it's worthy for the dog is not enough. Bichazila adam, if it's worthy for people, then it could become tamei. Chazila kelev, and it's fine for dogs too. But lo chazi lo adam. But if it's something that people wouldn't eat, lo, it won't get tuma, and lo chazi la kelav. It's not considered. Oh, but it's worthy for the dogs, so therefore it can get tuma. No, it doesn't get tuma. All right. So that was just an aside. Okay. Again, going back to the issue here, we have a Mishnah that says if a person cuts off flesh from a human being with the intent to feed it to some Gentile, then he washes off that flesh, the flesh can become tamim, become makom. So what do you see here? Katani had said that human flesh can become tamim as a food through machshava. So now one second. Machshava l'tumah kali. When you need a thought to make something a food, that's because you're talking about what type of tumah? Food tumah. Food tumah is severe tumah or light tumah. Light tumah. So what did we say? We said human blood is not prohibited because the human being can't be tame with the low level tumah. Here you see he can't. Human flesh can't have the low level of tumah. So Gemara says no. Hani mili mechayim. A human being whose flesh is cut off of him when he's alive, that flesh can have the low level of tumah as food. Avaliachar misa, but after the human being is dead, tamei hu tumah chamura, he only has the highest level of tumah. He doesn't have the option of a low level of tumah, and therefore he's not like ofen behema to be able to have the prohibition of blood, because ofen behema can have the high level of tumah and the low level of tumah even when they are dead. Says the Gemara, one second. Dikavasa gabi behema. So you're saying that in regards to an animal, it can have a low level and a high level of tumah when it's dead. The achar misa. That's not true. That's not true. Ibasar mitame tumah chamura. What are you talking about? The meat of the animal after it's dead has the high level of tumah. It's a nevela. Bimdam. And if you're talking about the blood of the animal after it's dead, it's also mitame tumah chamura. It's also the high level of tumah. The time of the Mishnah, dam nevelos, the blood of an animal that's dead that wasn't shechted. Beishamai mitzarin, beishamai say it's tahar from the high level of tumah of nevela. But beishilo mitzarin, beishilo say it's tamein, we paskan like beishilo. So therefore the blood also is tumah chamura. No, no nitzricha, ela lekidetnan. We need it for the following that we learned in a Mishnah. Mishnah said, nivlas, Behema Timeya Bechol Makom. In any place, a nevela of a behema, a nevela, an animal that wasn't slaughtered, wasn't shechted, is tame. Where there are lots of people, where there are few people, it's always tame as a nevela. Nivlas Ov Hatohar Bakfarim. But the nevela of an oaf, of a bird, so it's a small little creature, and it wasn't shechted in the villages, it doesn't have tumas nevela. Why? It doesn't have tumas nevela because it doesn't have a lot of people, but in the large towns where there are a lot of people, some eat it, and since some eat it, even though it wasn't shechted, that would give it the status of a low level of tumah. V'tzarech machshava, if people are intending to eat it, it can be, with their thoughts, it would have the status of food. V'ein tzarech hechsher, it doesn't need to be washed off in order to get tumah, because since were it to be a nevela, it would have severe tumah, it doesn't need to be washed off to get the lower level of tumah. So you see that in Nevelos, there is such a thing as the low level of Tumah of Tumas Ochlin. And Rav said to Reb Chiya, V'achshava l'amali, what do you need to have a thought for? L'tumah kala, for the low level of Tumah, to make it a food, to be able to get the low level of Tumah. I understand. He gufa Tumahi. This is already a Nevela. It's already Tameh. Amar le, Rav Chiya said to Rav, "Kegon diika pachas mikazayis nevela." Let's say you would have less than a kazayis of nevela meat. Vitzer fala pachas mikibetsa ochlin, and you put it next to something else, which is a little bit less than an egg worth of foods. So now, to high vahai, when you have a little nevela together with a lot of food, together having kibetza. It's a kibetza. So now you're going to have food tuma, but you're not going to have nevela tuma because you didn't have a kazayas worth of it. Iyachi, if that's the case, libay nami hechsher, it should have to be rinsed off to be able to be considered a food and able to become because we learned from the Braisa, the Shiva Rabbi Yishmael, since it says in the verse, Al kol zera zarua asher yizareyan, any seed that will be planted must be washed off. Seeds are never going to become nevela, they're seeds. And then, therefore they need to be washed off. So anything which is not ultimately going to be a high level of impurity needs to be washed off to be able to become impure. So when you have less than a kezias, it's not going to become the high level of impurity. So it should have to be washed off. Amar lei, Rav Chiya said back to Rav, Hani mili, that's true. For ochlin to alma, regular foods, right? A kibetza worth of foods. The less bo pachas mikazayas nevela, which has less than an olive worth of nevela. Avalach, but over here, teika begave pachas mikazayas nevela, where there is less than a kazayas of nevela. Keep in the mitzarif le kazayas, since if you'd add more nevela, you'd have a kazayas worth of nevela, and then it would already be tummy on its own. Lo bayi hechsher, it doesn't need to be washed off. However, you do need to be thinking that you want to eat it. Because if you don't think that you want to eat it, it's not going to be considered a food. So here you have, in animals, the ability of a low level of tumah. So now, one second, we've just finished the argument. Now, chafal fin beis, la fuke, mace. Unlike this is human flesh. So the flesh of a human being who's already dead. Let's say you would take a little bit less than an egg worth of food and add to it a little bit less than a kezias of dead human flesh. It's not going to be considered a kibetza worth of food to be able to become tummy with a low level of tumma. Why? Because people don't eat human flesh. That is human flesh from dead people. This person is saying he's going to eat it, but ladaito etzol kol adam. His thought is considered nothing relative to other people. So since his thought is considered nothing relative to other people, it's not considered a thought to make it into a food. It's not considered a food. Whereas with a nevela, even a nevela of a bird, a nevela of an animal, a person might plan to eat it. You know, certain places they eat that stuff. Non-Jews eat that stuff. And then, with a thought, it could become a food, therefore it could have a tuma kala. Whereas in a dead human being, there could never be tuma kala. There can never be the low level of tuma because of it being a food, because it could never be a food. Yeah, question.
I'm sorry, regarding the man, just to be sure, they need hechsher to be mekabel tuma?
No.
We agree that they don't need
hechsher. They don't need hechsher, but they need machshava.
You're going to eat it. That's already hechsher lekabel tumah.
Well, the hechsher come no, since no, ultimately no, it can be nevela, a high level of tumah doesn't need a hechsher ever.
Sure. By the way, tumah is tumah. Why do they characterize it as a low tumah or high?
Because there are levels. Is it an avat tumah? Not an avat tumah. It's a low level of impurity.
So, I mean, the low level could be washed off and becomes impure. Is that what it's
faster
saying?
Than the higher, yeah. Yeah. So now the Gemara says, Rav Hananya Amar, Rav Hananya said, if you took some nevela meat, less than a kezayis, and you put it with foods that were a little bit less than an egg, afilu, you're going to still need to wash it off with water, afilu tema davi kezayis, and even if you'd have a kezayis worth of nevela, you would still need a thought to give it the status of tumas ochlin. The answer, the reason why is the following: because hach b'mayaskin. Here, what's the case? Kegon shechipo bebatzek. He surrounded this kezias of nevela with a dough. So, yes, it's true that this, you know, frank in a blanket, is completing the size of a kibetza. But now it's a problem here, because if you touch the dough, you're not tamur tumas nevela. You're not touching the nevela, you're touching the dough. So to make tumah here, you need to combine it with the rest of the dough, which gets you up to an egg worth. So Gemara says, one second, if that's the case, that the nevela is covered with the dough, it should also have to be washed off. So Gemara says, no, ani mili, when do you have to wash off a food to make it able to become tame? Other foods that are never going to have the severe tumah, that just carrying them would create tumah, just touching them creates tumah. But over here, it's true that when you touch this nevela, you're not going to become tamei to come a chapi bebatze, because it's surrounded by the dough and you're touching the dough. But maasa b'miilu tamei. But if you carry it, you would become tamei. Dotonle, even though it's covered in dough, you're still carrying it. So therefore, that's the case where there needs to be a thought to make it part of the food. Afuki, again, to exclude human flesh from a dead human being of a mace. Afogav dechipo bebatzik, even if you surround the dead human flesh from a dead human being with dough, metame tumah chamura, there would be a tremendous tumah. Why? Because the only time tumas mace is blocked by a cover is if there is a tefach between the cover and the dead body. It has to be an ol. But if you have dough covering it, the tumah just bursts through. The tumah bokas va'ola bokas v'yoredes. The tumah of a dead human being breaks through and rises and breaks through and goes down. So therefore, it always has the tumah chamura, unlike Oaf and Behema that sometimes don't have such a tumah, and that's why it's not like Oaf and Behema, and that's why its blood has no prohibition, whereas the blood of Oaf and Behema have a prohibition. We learned before in the Brisa. The Brisa says, since the pasuk that says don't eat blood says don't eat the blood of open behema of birds and animals, so yatzadam, that excludes the blood of dagim v'chagavim of fish and grasshoppers, shekulon heter, because they are entirely permitted. My kulo heter, what aspect of the fish and the grasshopper is fully permitted? Ilema the chelbo mutter, that the fats of the fish and grasshoppers are permitted. One second, but a wild animal also its chelav is permitted, and we know that its blood is prohibited. Fish and grasshoppers don't have gidanasha, they don't have the sciatic nerve. One second, birds also don't have a sciatic nerve. The lesbis are gidanasha, and nevertheless, its blood is prohibited. What does it mean that it's fully permitted? They don't need a shchita. You can eat a fish without any type of shchita at all. You can eat a grasshopper without any type of shchita at all, unlike a bird or an animal that need a shchita. That's why they don't have a prohibition of blood, whereas bird and animals do. We just learned, if I would have just said, why do I need oaf? Why do I need bird and animal? Because if we would only have said oaf, I would have said, she'en bo kilayim, only those creatures that don't have a prohibition of kilayim. Af behema, so to the animals, let's say goats and camels that don't have kilayim, they are the ones that have the prohibition of blood. But sheep that have kilayim wouldn't have the prohibition of blood. Tamalom, that's when you need to have the word, behema, the animals. Let's look at one second. Kilayim, when you talk about kilayim, what are you referring to? Ilim kalayim daharba, the prohibition of crossbreeding. Kalayim tacharisha, the prohibition of plowing together with two creatures. Fatnam ulit in a mishnah in chulin chayav of kiyotzeben, both wild animals and birds have the same laws of kilayim. Elam rabbi abayi said what I had mentioned. Shetzimro, the wool, in other words, the fibers, the feathers. If you turn the feathers of a bird into threads, there'd be no prohibition of kilayim, of mixing them together with linen threads. So I would think those things that don't have a prohibition to be mixed with linen threads have the prohibition of blood, because those are like birds. But things that have the prohibition of being mixed with linen threads, namely sheep, would not have the prohibition of blood. That's when you need the word, behema. All right, I'm Rav Yehuda my Rav. Rav Yehuda now said in the name of Rav, Dam Shratzim, the blood of rodents, Lokin Alav the Kizayas. If you consume an olive worth of it, you'd get malchus. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Basically, challenges. We learned damatzchol, the blood of the spleen. Damalev, the blood of the heart. Damakloyos, the blood of the kidneys. Damevar, the blood of the limbs. Harei lebelotase, there would be a prohibition, a law for consuming them. he'd get malchus, dam al cheshtayim, the blood of human beings, and dam shratzim uramashim, and the blood of shratzim, of rodents. Asr, you're not allowed to eat it, but it's only drabanan. Ein chayav an olav, you don't get malchus. And here Rabbi Yudah says you get malchus for dam shratzim. So Gemara says, Ma'ein Chayavanal, what does it mean you don't, you're not obligated for it? Didn't say you don't get Malkus. You're not obligated for it. You're not obligated Kares, but Alav Machai. But if there is a Lav, and you would get Malkus. Gemara says, that's not true. Chada, first of all, Dainu Reisha. If with the blood of Shratzim you get Malkus, but no Kares, it should be like the blood of the heart and the gallbladder, also, where there is Malkus and no Kares. It's not Dama Nefesh. But another problem, Tana. Me lav nami kama maitle. We know that the Tana says that there's no lav also to the blood of Shratzim. Tikatani, because it says, Yatza dam Shratzim, to exclude the blood of Shratzim. Shein bem tuma chamura. Because since the Shratzim can't make a person impure to the point of making his clothing impure, there's no lav. It's not included in the pasuk of lo sochlu, don't eat it. Some Reb Zeira said this, that we said that the kazayas of dam sheretz, you get malchus, was not because of dam, but hisru bo mishum sheretz. They warned him, don't consume it, because when you're eating it, you're eating a sheretz. Look, and then you get malchus for the prohibition of eating sheretz. But if they would warn him, don't eat it because you're eating blood, mishum dam, in a loke, you wouldn't get malchus. All right, Amar Rav said another law. Dam dagim shekinsu, if the blood of fish was taken out of the fish and put into a separate cup, also there's an issur d'rabbanan to consume it because it looks like blood of animals and birds. Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned dam dagim dam chagav mutav afilu l'chatchila, the blood of fish, the blood of grasshoppers is permitted even as a first choice. The question is, no, when is it permitted? Ha'ibish lo kinsu, when it wasn't separated into its own cup. Eaten together with the grasshopper and the fish. Ki kamarav, when the Rav says it's prohibited to be drabanan, mishakinsu, when it was put separately in its own place. The kavasa asks the Gemara, the kavasa gab mal chishtayim, 1 second. In regards to human blood, which the Braisa said that's prohibited, it's also mishalo kinsu, it's in the flesh still. Umi yasra, is that prohibited? By the time we lived in a Braisa, dam shal gabe kikar. If the blood is on top of a loaf of bread, goro, you just scratch the blood off, v'ochlon, eat the bread. But the blood of a human being, shel bein hashinayim, it's between his teeth, it's still inside of his body, motzo bolo bein hachoshesh, you can just suck it, swallow it, there's no problem at all. Ella answers the Gemara, ki tanya, he must niso, and that Brisa said that the blood of fish is permitted, and that must have meant where it isn't a cup, but the isbe kaskasim, it has the fish scales with it in the cup. Ki kamarav aser, when does Rav say you can't have the blood of fish? The lesbe kaskasim, when it doesn't have the scales in the cup.